At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where we go beyond the dollars and cents. Let's get talking. Welcome, Money Buddies, to this week's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This week, we're talking all about budgeting. We're going to dive into how budgeting helps me and my guests today, and then we're going to learn how we can help teach others about budgeting. There are going to be some great tips on both sides of the budgeting aisle today, whether you're trying to figure out how to budget or you want to know how to share it with other people because you know budgeting helped you out. Well, we're going to help on both sides of that equation. Like I said, at the end of every show, the best way to learn is to go out and teach someone about it. So same goes for budgeting and for this episode. So be sure to share it with a friend and go and have a money talk. Today, we're going to be talking with the founder of My Budget Coach, a budgeting software that connects people and their budgets directly to coaches. I am a coach on the platform, and I'm sure you've heard me mention it in previous podcast episodes. So be sure to check out my link in the show notes and we can start budgeting together. I'm happy to be your money buddy and help you learn how to budget. But let's introduce today's guest and get into a fantastic money talk. Today's money buddy is Zach Welchel. Zach is a software developer, entrepreneur, husband, and father of two young boys. In 2023, he founded My Budget Coach to help the world fall in love with budgeting. My Budget Coach is an innovative budgeting app that allows coaches to teach users financial skills with their virtual avatars. This platform reduces the barriers to accessing budget coaching and support coaches in their businesses as well. The money talking points for this week are: how do you like to budget? 2. How can you teach others about budgeting? And 3, how can your budget help you be proactive versus reactive? With those money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today from My Budget Coach is Zach Welchel. He's the founder, but I'm going to let him go ahead and introduce himself a little bit more. Zach, can you introduce yourself for everyone?
Thanks for having me. So my name is Zach. I live in Lexington, Kentucky with my wife and two kids. I've got a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. They take up most of my mental space and energy these days. But yeah, I also founded My Budget Coach. So we are a budgeting platform that connects everybody with a coach. What we found is that people need help in order to learn this new skill of budgeting. A lot of people know that they should be budgeting, but they don't actually do it. And so we want to kind of help them get over that curve and learn to live intentionally with their money.
Yeah, there's this whole community of people out there that have figured it out and want to help others. So that's what I think drew me to the platform is there's people who want to help people with it. And now there's software behind it that can kind of connect people in a real way. So that's fantastic. Let's jump into our conversation today, talking about how we've both experienced budgeting helping us in our personal finances. You mentioned your marriage, you have kids that take up a lot of your time and things like that. Have you and your wife always budgeted together? Has it proved helpful?
No, we weren't always budgeters. So we just celebrated, I think, our 8th year of marriage. We got married on New Year's Day. So just about 8 years. Yeah, so that's cool. But for the first like 3 or 4, we did not budget at all. So we used to spend, you know, we would say just according to our priorities in which we kind of like trusted ourselves to do the right thing. And for the most part, we did. I mean, we didn't rack up like credit card debt. We didn't do, you know, kind of crazy things, but we also weren't maximizing our potential. And when I left a job about 4 years ago and we had our first kid on the way and money was tight and we just really felt out of control with our finances. And we started using like a zero-based budgeting system and it was a complete game changer for us in so many ways. Like, first of all, we were able to kind of maximize our money, maximize our spend in ways that we valued, but also it got us just on the same page together. So for any of you who have like a partner and you know, not that you are always arguing about money, but money can be a point of contention. It's like, well, why did we buy this? Or why did we spend on that? Or are we sure we want to do that? And what budgeting allows you to do is to sit down and put numbers to things and come to a common agreement on what you value together and what you want to go out there in the world and achieve. And so like, I think it's super empowering, not only as an individual, but as a couple to do that together and kind of dream of the life that you want. So it took us a while to get into it, but once we got there, it's been a game changer. We've loved it so much. Like, we teach our children about budgeting. We teach a class at our church. We teach our friends and family. Like, anybody who will listen, we're here to help.
Yeah, it's pretty much like you should have a sign on your back that says, ask me about budgeting. Maybe that can be your next t-shirt.
Yeah, we'll see.
How did you guys figure that out? Did someone introduce it to you? How did you guys kind of clue into the idea that you should be budgeting together?
There's a couple different types of budgeting. I've always done the expense tracking, things like mint.com and stuff like that. And for me, those were tools that I always just kind of had going in the background. And like, you know, I would look at them at the end of the month and be kind of like, oh shoot, I went over in this category or whatever, but they didn't really change my behavior. And so I always got frustrated by those apps because I didn't feel like I had a complete picture. And there was a tool that somebody had recommended for me for years. And I finally just broke and said, you know, I'm going to try this. It was one of the popular zero-based budgeting tools. And that method, that zero-based method where you kind of give every dollar a job before you spend it, that's what kind of changed the game for us. And it's hard to get into. It's hard to like flip your mind to kind of get around it. But once you do, it was just huge. So yeah, I've always been like money minded, but until I found that system, it never really clicked for me.
Yeah. And often I will tell people like on this podcast, if they're not budgeting, like you mentioned, at least having some sort of tracking in the background is at least helpful to have, like, I guess a mental note on your money. Do you think that helped at all? Like was the tracking useful before you started budgeting?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say there's layers to it. There's levels to it, right? Like there's people who completely avoid their spending entirely, right? I always say when I'm talking to people about budgeting, like I say, it's a skill, it's hard to do, like it's going to take time, but it's worth it. And you can kind of choose your poison, right? If you can choose the pain of like not looking at your finances. And there are pros that come with that, right? Ignorance is bliss. You don't have to like think about everything, but like, you know, the pain that comes from avoiding your finances, right? The other pain is to be very intentional about it. You have to put in the time, put in the effort, but you know, the pros there are amazing. So yeah, I'd say that, yeah, choose your pain. But for me and my house, we've decided that this is totally worth it for us.
Yeah. I would much rather spend the time figuring out where our money's going to go than figuring out where we're going to find the money. Like that's, I think that's kind of the juxtaposition there, is where's the money going versus where is it coming from? Because when you're not budgeting, or at least not even tracking your expenses, you're constantly saying, oh, I need more overtime at work. I need to do this. I need to stop doing this. Like you're so reactionary versus, I think, a budget, like you said, giving every dollar a job allows us to be much more proactive in our handling of the money.
Yeah, I think like you just said it much more simply than I did, like reactionary versus proactive. Like I think that's like a lot of life too, right? Like you can choose to let life happen to you and kind of react to it, or you can go out there and be proactive about what you want to do in the world and what you value and prioritize. And a budget is just that for your money. So yeah, I like the way you put it there.
Yeah. How did that help your relationship with your wife and then with like both of you and money? How did actually moving forward with that zero-based budget help you guys probably come closer together with money?
Absolutely. I mean, like, I guess I'm a nerd at this, but I would say like I can treat it like a date night when we sit down and do our budget together.
Yeah, same.
Like it makes me feel really close to my wife, because like what we're essentially doing is we're saying, what do you value? What do I value? Let's find a way to value those things together, right? You're going to have to give a little bit, and I'm going to have to give a little bit, but at the end of it, we are taking the resources that we have and we're allocating them in a way that we feel good about and proud about, and as a way that's serving to each other and to our community and our family and all those things. So yeah, man, being on the same page, tackling those goals together, having those dreams that you're dreaming towards and working towards together is huge. And then also like throughout the month, there's no like, hey, why did we spend this? Why did we do that? Because we're living according to a plan. And if we need to deviate from that plan, we can. And this is one of the reasons why I love zero-based budgeting, is because when you want to deviate, you can have a real values-based discussion, because all of your money has a job. So you have to pull that money from somewhere else. So if we want to go over an eating out budget, we can do that. We can decide where to do that from. And it's a much healthier conversation to say, hey, do we want to pull from clothing in order to do this, than it is just to look at your bank balance and be like, I guess we have money, let's just go do it. And you don't really know the opportunity cost of what you're pulling from yourself.
Yeah, you're just making decisions on the fly. You don't actually realize that money you just pulled out is for your car insurance that's coming up at the end of the month, because there's no planning for it. And I like what you said there, that it allows you to have like a real conversation about, what are we going to do with this money? Because a real example from right now for my wife and I, our grocery budget for this month somehow got blown out of the water. I think we had some of those things that last 3 or 4 months all come needing purchased at one time. So we're kind of like, what happened to this budget? But we went on a bike ride yesterday and we wanted to pick up a snack at the end of our bike ride. And we decided, oh, here's this other category. Let's go enjoy the bike ride together and then buy ourselves a treat at the end using money from this other category. So I think that's kind of like a real-time example of what you're saying there, that we're able to see where money's allocated, what kind of money maybe doesn't need to be as important and we can move, things like that. Really, that's what I think is like a huge unlock for so many people when they realize that they can do that with their budget.
Yeah. I mean, people think of budgeting as like restrictive, right? They'd be like, well, I can't get that snack because I'm out. But like, it's further from the truth, right? Like the idea is that you should be able to switch your money around and your budget around all the time. It's just, you get to make that real decision, right? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, like that snack was worth it to you compared to the other thing you pulled it from. And that's great.
That's a small example of something that my wife and I have been able to accomplish. What's budgeting allowed you to accomplish?
Budgeting for us has been, like I mentioned this earlier, just like a game changer. We've been doing it for almost five years now. And like, we've lived under our means for a long time. So we've been able to save a ton of money. We've put a lot of money into investments. This is actually our third property that we own at a relatively young age, because we do this thing where we, you know, buy a house. And then when we move, we just keep the last house and then we move and then keep the last house and rent it out. And we've been able to do that because we live below our means, right? We're never buying a house that's too big for what we can afford. It's always within our means. And so I'd say that like budgeting, even though the wins in a given month feel small, it all compounds over time, right? Not only compounding in just a sense that money grows, but compounding in the sense that like opportunities arise and we're able to take advantage of those opportunities because we consistently live below our means. So, I mean, the ultimate one, so like recently, is I was able to quit my, you know, corporate job to build this company in which we can go out and help other people be intentional with their money as well. And we can do that because of kind of these decisions we've made along the way. So, I mean, for us, money is a tool, right? It's not the end game, of course. It's just the means to crafting the life that's meaningful and helpful and good. And so you don't want to over-optimize that, right? You don't want to save up too much money and have nothing to do with it. That's kind of where we are right now, is we've put the systems in place over years so that we can kind of craft the life we want.
Yeah. And what you said there is there's so many opportunities. You mentioned keeping your last house. You don't have to sell it and hope everything clears in the right order because it's going to make you really tight for 6 months or whatever. And then, like you said, you're able to now take a big leap in founding a company and trying to run a startup and get something going that if you guys weren't living below your means, like, can you imagine, I guess, play it out in your mind a little bit for me here. What would trying to take the leap with my budget coach look like for you guys when you just got married, when you weren't budgeting? How would that even work?
So I can actually tell you what it did look like, because I was starting companies back then, and it was a world of difference because we had no money. We had no savings. We had people on payroll. At one point, we were taking out debt in order to pay those people. It was just a world of difference of like chaos and uncertainty. I went and got kind of a real corporate job for a few years in order to intentionally save money to do this again. But yeah, it's so much better to prepare for the things and take a longer term view and then really be able to dive into them once you're ready for it, for sure.
Yeah. And you mentioned you've built up these systems over the years. One of the things that I'm trying to help people overcome is that overwhelm that you feel when you see, like, people like you and I, we've had years of building our spreadsheets and our programs that we're using to run all this stuff we're trying to do in our life, but it takes years to build that out. How do you suggest people get started with building those systems out? How do they keep it simple?
Yeah. I mean, so there are a couple of systems that I would recommend, and even beyond budgeting, like one of the first things that my wife and I got into in college was just a simple like to-do manager. There's a book called Getting Things Done by David Allen. I don't know if you're familiar.
Very, yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we use an app called Things, and we've used that for probably 12, 13 years now. And it's been huge. Like the idea is that, you know, kind of the short summary of the book is like, you'll get to a point where you're so overwhelmed that you have to write everything down, right? Mm-hmm. And he just says, well, wait a minute. Why don't you just write everything down before you get overwhelmed and keep track of it and stuff like that? So we have a to-do system where we don't let the ball drop on things without choosing to let the ball drop on it. Like if I'm in a conversation with a friend and something comes up and I need to remember something, I write that in my to-do system, right? So that, like, for us, that was like the start of this, like having these systems of intentionality. Like you can look at your big resources are your time, your effort, your money. And we have systems for each of those, like a calendar for our time, a to-do manager for like our effort, and like for money, it's a budget. But yeah, I'd say to get started small, like maybe not even a budget, maybe something like a to-do app where you're learning to be intentional with what you choose to do with your time. And then those principles kind of bleed over eventually. And then eventually, you know, starting a zero-based budget, something like, you know, a My Budget Coach or YNAB or Actual, like one of those tools is super helpful as well.
Yeah. Well, Zach, if I wasn't huge into money, I would have a productivity podcast. So you're speaking my language right there with all that sort of stuff, like building a second brain, getting things done. That's all my kind of areas. Let's talk a little bit about some of the tools you use within your budget. What are some ways that sinking funds help you out? I know that's something that you and I both appreciate, is using these to save for longer term expenses. How do you use sinking funds in your budget?
Yeah, right now life is a bit strange for us because I just quit my corporate job. Like, instead of making good money, we're now, you know, investing money into the company. Mm. So we're really not in a position where we're like building up stuff. We're kind of in a position where we're using the money that we've built up over time in order to build a new tech company. But typically what it would look like is we would have something called like a wish garden or like a hopes kind of category at the bottom of our budget. And whenever we would close out the month, we would look at all of our savings that we made in all these categories. And we get to decide where we put that money. And, you know, the general breakdown is my wife wants to put it on something fun and I want to put it in investments. And
yep,
so we struck a balance between those. I mean, my temperament is always delay gratification as much as possible, like forever and always, which isn't healthy, right? Like eventually you want to kind of...
You got to sell the investments eventually. Yeah.
Have you read the Die with Zero book? Are you familiar with that concept?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things that's been super helpful for me is having kids because like I've got a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old and like they're only this young for this long. Right. So like I can't delay gratification in life forever because they're only this age now. So like that's helped me a little bit swing the pendulum toward the middle.
Yeah. But I love that you guys are in a position right now where you're not like every single personal finance person or like the general advice is save money after your budget, save it. But you guys are in a place where that's not necessarily applicable and you're having to figure out that personal finance and figure out what is actually working for you. Was it kind of hard to make that transition to maybe go away from some of the stereotypical blanket advice to have to do something that's unique for you?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, it's hard to... We were in a position where we could have fired eventually, right? Like we were making good money. We were living below our means. We could have fired. And like, that's cool. That's a cool goal. A lot of people are striving for that. For me, at the end of the day, doing something that I find valuable in the world, like trying to apply whatever skills I have or like inclinations I have to do those in a way that could potentially help other people is like more important to me. As I have kids, like I had these little kids looking to their dad and like I was working a corporate job and it wasn't like filling me with life, right? I'd rather be doing something that's like filling me with life and I'm excited to do every day. And so, but making that jump is hard, right? Like going out into the unknown, trying to start something, leaving your career, all of those things is hard. So yeah, but we're able to do it because we have a budget, right? It's not a willy-nilly decision. It's something that we've been intentional about, that we planned for, and that we have the means to do because we've looked forward to this.
Yeah, there's that intentionality word again. I think that's going to be a real thread through the majority of this conversation, is that a lot of what you're doing is intentional.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Let's move in a little bit to talk about how we teach others about budgeting. You have my budget coach. My podcast knows I do financial coaching, that I've done this podcast for years. How can people who have actually figured out how to budget, so they're hearing this intentionality talk that we're having and it's clicking with them, they're loving it, how do they go out and help others with budgeting?
That's a great question. I mean, that's part of why I built this platform. So I would say none of my friends would have ever driven taxis. None of my friends would have ever rented out their house, right? But then Uber comes along and Airbnb comes along and suddenly those are platforms that make it easy to go out and drive a car and make some money, or, you know, rent your house and make some money. So we wanted to create a place that's kind of like that. So like, if you love budgeting, if this is an area that clicks with you and you're like, man, I could make a side business out of helping other people do that. Like, we wanted to create a platform where you could come and do that and be a coach and help kind of spread that good word and make a little bit of money off of it. Some people make their whole career, you know, in this space. And we want to be able to support those people as well. But I would say, yeah, find either a platform like my budget coach or find like a local opportunity. Last week I sent out 3 emails to 3 random churches in my neighborhood. One of those churches told me no, one hasn't replied, and one church like invited me to come speak to their youth group. And after that went well, I'm now speaking to the adults and we're going to have a 3-week class there. Like, there's opportunity out there and there's people that are searching for this. Like, money struggles are real, and like, you can find ways in your local community to go and speak to those groups and help them learn.
Yeah, churches are a great opportunity. Libraries are another one that love to have people come and speak, especially if you're truly doing it from a place of giving back and doing it for free, because they don't want to have someone come in with a sales pitch. But that's one thing that I'm doing in a couple of weeks. I think after this episode comes out, I have a 3-week series at the local library where I'll be doing just a couple quick and easy presentations to help people. So if you're inclined to help, yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm excited for it, which is kind of funny because you see people scared to work on their money or handle their money. Then there's people out there that are excited to teach it to others. So it's a really fun time. And I encourage anyone who's clicking with this conversation, they know how to budget, find an opportunity to teach a small group. If you have a church nearby, like you do, Zach, that's a great way to get started. Libraries, even just, I guess, hosting a class for maybe your friends or something like that could be something too. There's a lot of ways to get started with that.
We lived in England last year. This was another one of those like intentional things. Like my wife and I have always wanted to know what it's like to live abroad. So we moved to England for 3 months just to kind of try it out. And we went to a completely new church and we ended up like hosting an event at our house and we taught budgeting at our house. But like it's always there. The interest is always there. You just have to go get it and make something happen.
Yeah. And that's the one thing that can be tricky. At least like when I started this podcast, my friends will probably remember that I was trying to push all this money advice on them and trying to just almost shove it down their throats a little bit. But there are people out there that actually want to listen to anyone who wants to teach about budgeting. You just have to go find them through churches, through libraries, through probably like if you have a local community college, you might be able to do some sort of like adult education course or something like that. There's always interest out there. I like the way you put that. Let's say someone is in a conversation with someone. How do you bring up budgeting? So like you hear those threads in like your friends' conversations that maybe they're struggling or like, oh, there's too much month at the end of the money kind of thing. How do you bring up budgeting and kind of help get people started down this path?
Yeah, I'd say that fundamentally people need to have an intrinsic motivation. They need to have something that they want that they can't currently have because of the way that they're spending their money. And maybe that's just like peace from like stressing out about running out of, you know, paycheck to paycheck and all of those things. Or maybe it's a goal that they just have that they can't get to. And I try to jump off of that to say like, hey, like this is something I mentioned or that you mentioned that you like, that you love, that you want in the world. Like I was talking to somebody this past week and they're like, my wife really wants to create like this little farm on our property. Like she wants this type of animal and like this type of thing. And it's something we've dreamt about for years and we just haven't made it happen because we don't have the money for it. And I'm like, well, that's awesome. Like you have a dream, you have a vision, like you could make that happen if you just be a little bit more intentional and plan for it. So starting from the point of what it is that they want or what it is that they're currently struggling with, and then just showing them how a tool like this could help, right? Because again, we don't want to shove things down people's, you know, throats if they're not interested or if they don't need it, right? But I love seeing a hope or a dream that somebody has and saying, listen, you could do it, right? You could get there. Like I can help you too. Just learn to be intentional, essentially.
Yeah. And it's kind of fun too. If you're maybe like, it's a closer friend and maybe you know some of their numbers, maybe they've shared their hourly rate before and if you can almost present it to them a little bit and be like, hey, here's what you could do. If you show them how a sinking fund works by saying you probably make about this much a paycheck. If you divided this out over the next 12 months, look, that's only $50-$60 a month versus the several hundred dollars it's going to take to try to do it all at once with your last couple of paychecks. So I love to do things like that, like kind of almost hand them a little bit of the map of what you can do with their money. I think that helps people to visualize it a lot better.
Yeah, that's really cool.
What do you feel like is at risk if people don't budget? So you had a couple of years where you didn't budget. Now you're budgeting. You've seen that juxtaposition. What are people risking if they aren't even budgeting?
Yeah, I guess it depends on like where you are in life, how much money you make, like all those things. Like for some people, all they're risking is they're just risking the optimization that they could have, right? All those hopes and dreams that they could be achieving that they're not, they're just skating by. And some people will skate by forever and it's fine, right? Like maybe, again, you can choose that life. You can choose the life of kind of being more ignorance is bliss with your money. And for, in some situations like that, that might be the right choice. Like I'm not saying that everybody needs to be super intentional as well. Some people just make enough money that they can afford to be a little reckless and still be fine, right? But that's not the typical person that I talk to, and that's not my friends and family, right? Mm-hmm. For them, the thing that they're risking is a lot of stress, right? A lot of their lives is spent stressing about money or wondering how they're going to afford this or how they're going to afford that. And I don't know, man, I think it's just a much better life when you kind of pick yourself up by your bootstraps, take ownership of your situation. Like life isn't fair, like all those things, but like do the best you can with what you have and your resources.
It's going to be hard to get started up front. I think that's what so many people realize kind of diving into it is that first budget meeting might take you 2 or 3 hours to actually allocate your budget, figure out how to use the tool, things like that. But my wife and I always kind of time us in the background to see how quickly we can get through it. And we've had budget meetings where it's like 30 minutes because it's an easy one. We don't have a lot to talk about. And if you told most people, it's like, hey, I spent 30 to 60 minutes this month thinking about money and the rest of it just worked in the background. Most people don't worry about their money and spend more time thinking about it because they're not having some sort of system behind it. They're spending maybe like 30 minutes every night not being able to go to sleep because of the bills that are sitting on the counter, whereas some intentionality can help.
it's like health or anything, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you either like prioritize your health and exercise, which I'm not great at, so don't take my word on this, but like, you know, and then you save yourself a lot of the, you know, the problems down the line in that, or, you know, it's cheaper in the long run to do preventative work than it is mm-hmm. to treat the symptoms later.
Real quick here, as we're coming towards the end of our questions and our time here, I want to help other people who are parents or they're trying to teach younger people. You mentioned you talked to your church's youth nearby. How do you teach future generations how to budget?
I can speak specifically to starting super young. So my kids are 4 and 3. The way that we've started with them is like every time we go to the store, they get $2. And we chose that number intentionally because $2 can be divided, right? You can choose to mm-hmm. spend some and save some, right? And so, you know, my kids will see something that they want and I'll be, well, how much is that? And they'll be like, you know, it's $8. And okay, well, you have $2 now. How many times would you need to save to get that? So from a very young age, like instead of asking us for things and us saying yes or no based on how we were feeling, the answer was always, yes, you can have anything you want if you save for it, right? And so building in the concept of like the value of money, delaying gratification, the fact that they can do it themselves if they want to. You know, my 4-year-old saved up $10 to buy a Lightning McQueen thing. And that represents 5 times going to a store and with like choosing delayed gratification, which is awesome, right? For 4 years old, like I'm really proud of him. And then as you get older, I'd say like, you know, you get into your teenage years and you start making money and that gets hard because like, you're not making a ton of money. So how do you be intentional with that? I'm not going to fall too far on like the spend or the save. Like my whole thing is just have a plan, just be intentional, right? Like if there are opportunities to take advantage, do it, just be intentional with it.
Yeah. I like that. Be intentional. And to your $2 idea, I've heard something kind of similar before where one of the previous parents on my podcast, they suggested during the 3 months of summer, they would each get a turn of managing the like fun budget. Like they would get the whole thing. Cool. And that was the kids' budget to have fun during the summer. Like if they wanted to spend it all on gas station snacks and Slurpees and things like that, they could, but then the rest of the month was kind of boring. And then some kids would maybe save it and they would team up together to get something bigger. So that's another idea that's in a similar vein that maybe as kids get older, you let them handle like a whole category to see how they do with it.
That's really cool. Like we've withheld so many concepts. Like we haven't taught our kids about the ability to go in together because I'm afraid that the older one's just going to bully the younger one into like give your money so we can buy this. But yeah, like introducing those concepts over time is awesome. I love that idea of giving ownership to kids at a young age. It's great.
Yeah, let them make a $30 mistake rather than a $30,000 mistake when they can get an auto loan or something like that. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really funny watching my like 3-year-old have buyer's remorse. Like he'll buy a car and be sad that he bought that car. It's like, yeah, man, like this is life. Like
the money's gone now. Yeah.
Yeah.
that's pretty hilarious. That's funny. Let's wrap this up now. Let's talk about My Budget Coach for a second. Let's talk about how people can connect with you. And then the one final question that I'll have at the end, I'll mention it now so you have a moment to think about it. But what's one thing you wish you would have told yourself in your early 20s about budgeting? But before that, how do you help people find financial coaches? What's My Budget Coach? How can people find you?
Familiar, My Budget Coach is a budgeting platform. So it's an app. It's similar to like, you know, Monarch or YNAB or Mint or any of those. The difference is that we connect every user with a coach. So, you know, as we've been talking, budgeting is hard. It's a skill. Like it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. And so we want to connect you with somebody that's going to help you get there. So we're both coaches on that platform, but there are also, you know, a lot of other coaches and we want people to go on there and find somebody that resonates with them for whatever reason, right? It might be their background, the profession they're in, you know, the culture they're from, like any of those things. Just find somebody that you feel like you could get and work with them. And we've made it in a way that it's affordable to get started, right? So there's like a 35-day free trial. You can message your coach back and forth for free. If you want to meet with them, you can sign up for like one-on-one calls and pay their hourly rate, but you don't have to sign up for this like huge package deal. Like a lot of financial coaches, it's like, you know, pay me for 6 months. It's $1,000 or whatever. And we just felt like that was such a leap of faith that people wouldn't really want to get started. We want people to feel like coaching is accessible and they can get started with it. So that's kind of why we created the platform. So if you're interested in budgeting, yeah, check out the website, start a free trial, pick a coach, pick one of us or somebody else and give it a try. And just, I would just encourage you that like, it is hard. It is a skill, but it is so worth it. Like put in the time, put in the effort and like future you will be so glad that you did it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And if you pick one of us, let us know you came from this episode. I think that'll be kind of fun, but to wrap us up here, the final question is, what's one thing you wish you would have told yourself or known in your early 20s about budgeting?
Goodness. I would say that I mean, I hinted to this a little bit earlier, but like I started companies in my early 20s and, I wasn't prepared for it, as prepared for it. Like some successes, a lot of failures. I'd say in general, I kind of did things in a weird order in life. I waited until later in order to get a stable job to save up money to start this company, right? Like if I had just kind of gotten the stable job out of college with the intention of, you know, using that money to start those companies afterwards, I think it would have reduced a lot of stress. That being said, I mean, some people will go out of school, get a comfortable job, and then kind of lose that ability to be an entrepreneur because, you know, the stability and all that. So I don't know. I'd say in general, if I were talking to somebody in their 20s, like everything compounds in time, right? It might feel like it's little, but the intentionality, the skills you build, the money you set aside, the money you invest, I mean, it all compounds in time. And so learning to do it today, learning to do it now, trying to, you know, craft yourself into the type of person you want to be, like that starts as soon as possible.
That's fantastic. I love the idea that the skills and intentionality compounds, because you hear compounding, you so often think of, oh, it's investing, going up, and
sure,
but there's so many skills that, like you said, I can't imagine my wife and I trying to do what we're doing now with money, or even understanding the conversations we're having now, without the years of talking about it regularly. So that's a huge one. This question so often when I ask people, what's something you wish you would have known sooner with money, so often goes to that I would have started investing sooner because of compounding. But you still went the compounding route, but I love that you went the compounding route with so many other things we're able to do as we budget. Yeah.
Other things compound as well, like memories compound, right? Like relationships compound. And like the idea of budgeting is not that you're just always saving your money, but like maybe you're being intentional to take that really cool trip with your friends when you're 25, because that builds relationships that compound over time too. So yeah, compounding is more than just money, and succeeding in life is more than just money too, right? Money is just a tool that allows us to do all these other things. And so be sure to balance those. And, you know, in order to balance them, you just need to be intentional and have a plan.
I love it. We'll leave it right there on that with the mic drop of money is just a tool that allows you to do all sorts of other things. Zach, thank you for coming on. That was a fantastic time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks to Zach for coming on today's podcast. That was a great interview, and I hope you learned as much as I did from that money talk. Now let's dive into the money talking points for this episode to talk about budgeting techniques and how to teach others and how to be proactive. The first money talking point is, how do you like to budget? Well, I like to budget with the zero-based budget, like what Zach talked about. It's zero-based because you're trying to get your income left over to zero by giving every dollar a job. Now that doesn't mean you need to spend every dollar and that you're total bank account needs to be zero. It's just that you're trying to say, hey, here's how much income I have. Let's get that number to zero by giving it all a job. My wife and I don't go all the way to zero. We leave ourselves what we call a virtual cash stash. And this gives us a little bit of buffer to allocate to categories that go over. And it isn't true zero-based budgeting, since we don't always have to pull from other categories in order to spend in a category that's gone over. So I don't really recommend this. It's just what works for us. And that's what makes personal finance personal. A zero-based budget, when you do it properly, can be a huge help because you are giving every single dollar a job. And I think there's real value in making sure your budget is at zero, because then you're actually going to have to think through and talk through what categories to pull from, like the envelope method. We did that for a long time, and it's been a progression of ours to move to this virtual cash stash method of having a little bit left over to allocate to those overspent categories. We also like to budget based on last month's income, and it makes it so much easier because we know exactly how much we have to budget. It can be really hard to go paycheck to paycheck when you try to budget, or if you budget at the beginning of the month and you're just trying to guess how much your paychecks will be, that can be a little tricky too. So what I like to do is work on saving up at least 1 month's income in your account, and then each month you can look at your paychecks that you got and say, okay, here's how much we got in the month of February, for example. So when you're beginning to budget for March, you say, we made $4,000 in the month of February. Let's allocate that $4,000 to the month of March. And then you divide it up into those categories. It can be really a huge help because you kind of have a built-in emergency fund a little bit. Because if you budget based on last month's income, there is some money there if the worst were to happen that you can pull from. If you really need to start breaking glass and figuring out what to do with your money, budgeting based off last month's income almost gives you a 1 month emergency fund. And that can be very helpful, especially if you're in a tight situation. There are a few other budgeting methods that you might have heard of that I want to make sure to mention here during the episode. There's the 50-30-20, which is 50% to needs, 30% to wants, and 20% to savings. And if everyone could follow this one and save 20% of their income, which I would like to liken that to investing 20% of your income, a lot more people would be much better off. This can be such a good baseline if you're nervous to get into budgeting. Start with this savings percentage. A lot of people have a hard time pushing 5 or 10% savings rates, let alone a 20% savings rate. If you can do this one thing, you're going to have so much of a better financial life if you can somehow meet that 20% savings rate. So the 50-30-20 can be a great framework to work towards because it's going to help you get set up with a good savings rate. The other thing I want to talk about is the anti-budget. This is a save first and then spend the rest. So you're almost budgeting to save, and then you're giving yourself permission to spend the rest of the money. This is a plan that is huge on less restriction and less stress. Because if you feel restricted by your budget, try the anti-budget. That could be the main thing that really unlocks your money for you. How do you get started with this one? Well, identify how much money you need to save for future expenses, retirement, etc. Then put the rest into your checking account and spend it. You have to promise yourself not to move money from the savings, or that just defeats the whole purpose of any type of budget that you have set up. But especially with the anti-budget, once you put that money in the checking, that is how much you have to spend. And be okay with spending that. Allow yourself to spend it. Honestly, maybe even push yourself to spend it because you know you have those savings targets working for you in the background thanks to the anti-budget. And I've had a couple episodes in the past talking about anti-budget. So go into your podcast player, search anti-budget in my podcast, and I'm sure you can find a couple of them that'll be really helpful for you. The second money talking point is, how can you teach others about budgeting? Well, this podcast, you could come on this podcast, you could start your own podcast, you could host classes, teach one-on-one, and really any way that you want to teach people about money and budgeting. There's a lot of different ways to do it. How do you teach others? Well, find your local church, library, local community colleges, things like that. There's a lot of people out there who would jump at the chance to have a real local budgeting class to help them figure out how to budget and how to get their money in order. There's so many churches that offer either Financial Peace University, or there's personal finance self-reliance courses and things like that out there, because it can be so hard to follow on social media or media personalities because it's hard to get that one-on-one advice, or maybe that one-on-15 classroom advice that you might need, because they're trying to speak to the masses. So it can be hard to really nail in on what you need help with. And that's where things like My Budget Coach or any other sort of local presentation or local class can really be a huge help, because you're getting that more specific help towards your actual questions with your money. So if you have your budget figured out, see how you can shift things to become someone who teaches others how to budget. And who knows, you may be able to turn that financial coaching into some sort of a side hustle and potentially make a little bit of money. You could be someone who helps teach others. And honestly, saving other people money or teaching people or maybe changing their life because they figured out how to budget and now they're on track for a wealthy retirement, that can be a huge win. So the third money talking point in today's episode is, how can your budget help you be proactive versus reactive? And this is a big one. A budget is going to help you be proactive, which is such a great place to be in. I'm going to tease a new resource that I'm working on here, but I'm putting together a budget meeting guide. And that can be a huge help towards you being proactive with your money. And stay tuned for potentially a special episode coming out soon about that budget meeting guide. So keep your eye out for that. Follow me on social media or subscribe to the podcast. In that guide, I'm going to talk about how you can set upcoming plans for the month. That's a perfect example of being proactive, and how you can plan your money towards that. You can plan to spend instead of trying to react to figure out how you're going to get enough money to pay off the credit cards. Planning to spend is fun. My wife and I are planning to buy paddle boards in a couple months. We're planning to go on a trip in a couple months, things like that. You could also plan to save for something a couple months from now, like my wife and I do, instead of feeling like you have to be reactive to get overtime on a paycheck to cover something that is coming up soon. So a little bit of planning ahead, honestly, just 1 month ahead, can be huge towards your financial future. There are so many things coming at us all the time, it makes it so hard to stay on top of. So having a little bit of a system in place with a regular budget meeting is going to help you a ton when it comes to thinking ahead instead of trying to react to what is going on around you. And I know you'll notice the theme in this episode, which is intentionality and not letting life control you. So be intentional with your budget and be intentional with a budget meeting and get ahead of your money so that you can be in control. But that wraps up the money talking points for today. As we wrap up today's episode, we've explored the transformative power of budgeting in both personal finance and relationships. Zach showed us how transitioning to zero-based budgeting brought them from being aware of their finances to truly being in control. This system has helped them align their values, reduce financial stress, and even strengthen their relationships by fostering shared goals and dreams. Which, might I plug here, a budget meeting is a great chance to dream together if you're married, so consider that free resource that's coming out soon. Budgeting isn't just about restriction, but empowerment, helping you live intentionally, avoid financial chaos, and pursue long-term opportunities. We also discussed how teaching others about budgeting can start by identifying motivations and pain points, and there's platforms like My Budget Coach that are making financial education even more accessible. From the importance of starting these lessons young to the compounding benefits of intentionality, today's insights remind us that budgeting is a skill that pays off over a lifetime. Remember that giving every dollar a job is going to help provide you with a ton of clarity and opportunity in the future. But thank you for listening to today's episode. The best way to stay up to date and connected with all things Money Talk is to sign up for my email list. Head over to moneytalkwithskylarfleming.com and submit your name and email right there on the homepage. You can also use the contact page on my website to send me any questions you might have. And if you're looking to start budgeting, I've partnered with My Budget Coach, a platform that connects your budget directly with your financial coach. I'd love to work with you on that platform and help you with your budgeting. The link, of course, is in the show notes. Remember that the best way to learn from today's episode is to go and have a money talk about today's topic. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,